What does it take to transform not just a sport, but society itself? In 1954, a 10-year-old girl named Billie Jean Moffitt walked onto a public tennis court in Long Beach with a borrowed racket and an audacious dream. After her first lesson with coach Clyde Walker, she turned to her mother and declared, "I want to be the number one tennis player in the world." That bold proclamation set in motion a journey that would culminate in 39 Grand Slam titles, a legendary match watched by 90 million people worldwide, and a revolution in women's sports that continues to ripple through our culture today. This wasn't just about winning trophies. It was about dismantling barriers and proving that excellence knows no gender. Tennis chose Billie Jean as much as she chose it. After trying the sport at a friend's suggestion, her firefighter father advised it was best in the long term. She fell in love with its mental challenges and infinite variety. She saved money from odd jobs to buy her first wooden racket for $8.29, a purple and white beauty she slept with for weeks. Under Clyde Walker's free instruction at Houghton Park, she became captivated by the satisfying connection of racket meeting ball and the strategic possibilities each point offered. The Moffitt household nurtured ambition without pressure. Both Billie Jean and her younger brother Randy pursued professional sports careers, Randy playing Major League Baseball for 12 years, while Billie Jean conquered tennis. When she asked Clyde if he could make her a champion, his response became her North Star. "No, Billie Jean, but with hard work, you can." She practiced relentlessly against her home's fence until her father replaced it with a cinder block wall and added a spotlight for nighttime sessions. After losing her first tournament match 6-0, 6-0, she wasn't discouraged. She was ignited. By 1961, she arrived at Wimbledon, mesmerized by its sacred atmosphere. She vowed never to miss a tournament there, a promise she kept for 60 years until the pandemic canceled it in 2020. In her debut, she and partner Karen Honsett became the youngest team ever to win Wimbledon at 18 and 17, a record they still hold. The early 1960s shattered Billie Jean's innocence about fairness. At Los Angeles State College, male tennis stars like Arthur Ashe received full scholarships, while women received nothing. Her boyfriend, Larry King, bluntly pointed out the sexism. She was the school's best athlete, yet treated as a second-class citizen. This conversation happened in spring 1963, just as Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique was published. The landscape for women was shockingly restrictive. Birth control wasn't legal for all women until 1972, abortion until 1973, and pregnancy discrimination remained legal until 1978. When tennis entered the open era in 1968, Billie Jean celebrated wildly in her Berkeley apartment. But Larry warned her, once men get open tennis, they're going to squeeze the women out. The breaking point came in 1970 when Jack Cramer announced his tournament would offer $65,000 to men versus just $7,500 for women, with women only paid if they reached quarterfinals. During the 1970 U.S. Open, while recovering from knee surgery and working as a CBS commentator, Billie Jean and Rosie Casals polled players about protesting. They consulted Gladys Heldman, publisher of World Tennis Magazine, who reported after negotiating with Cramer, "Cramer's an ass." When Gladys offered to organize an 8-woman tournament in Houston with $5,000 prize money the same week as Cramer's event, 9 players committed. Despite U.S. LTA suspension threats, they defiantly signed $1 contracts with World Tennis, becoming the legendary Original 9. With Philip Morris backing through Virginia Slims, they launched a circuit in 1971 with 19 tournaments offering $310,000. By 1973, prize money reached $750,000, attracting stars like Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert. While Rosie embraced protest enthusiastically, Billie Jean took a strategic approach, carefully choosing words to keep dialogue open. Despite her measured tone, she was called radical, and every action was magnified. Bobby Riggs, the former tennis champion and hustler, had pestered Billie Jean for years to play him. When Margaret Court accepted his challenge and lost badly on Mother's Day 1973, Billie Jean knew she had to step up. They negotiated a $100,000 winner-take-all purse with the men's standard best-of-five sets format. The match resonated far beyond tennis. America in 1973 was gripped by Watergate, Vietnam withdrawal, and economic crisis. Traditional gender roles were under siege. Only 9% of physicians were female, with similarly low representation in law, politics, and executive positions. The match drew 30,472 spectators and an estimated 90 million viewers worldwide. Billie Jean methodically constructed each point. Though Bobby broke her serve to lead 3-2 in the first set, she broke right back. She noticed he couldn't hit a backhand down the line, forcing him to play to her strength. She won the first set 6-4, then the second 6-3. By the third set, Bobby was cramping while she remained focused. On match point, his weak backhand volley floated into the net. He jumped the net to congratulate her, admitting, "You're too good." Her 6-4, 6-3, 6-3 victory sparked celebrations nationwide. At Smith College, 500 women marched with signs declaring, "Today, tennis, tomorrow, the world." Women at the Philadelphia Bulletin told her they'd finally asked for raises after seeing her win, and got them. Being gay in the 1970s was terrifying. Contracts had morals clauses, and one scandal could destroy a career. In 1972, Billie Jean met Marilyn Barnett, a Beverly Hills hairstylist. Their relationship became physical, but Billie Jean was trapped, the tour's leading spokesperson, a truth-teller living a lie. In April 1981, Marilyn filed a palimony lawsuit, outing her to the world. Within 2 months, Billie Jean lost at least $500,000 in endorsements. Squibb stopped her vitamin commercials. A nearly completed $500,000 Wimbledon clothing line vanished, along with contracts from Mergani Jeans and Charleston Hosiery. Despite 39 Grand Slam titles, she became the only major tennis player without a sportswear contract. At 51, 40 pounds overweight and emotionally broken, she entered the Renfrew Center for Eating Disorders. Through therapy, she discovered her binge eating numbed emotional pain. Being overweight provided relief, comfort, protection from being harassed, especially over my sexuality. She finally told her parents, "I am gay." After Renfrew, she embraced a new beginning with partner Alana Kloss. Her parents accepted them, her mother ending calls with, "Give Alana our love." 40 years together now, Billie Jean brings emotion and vision. Alana excels at execution. Billie Jean launched the Women's Sports Foundation 8 months after the Battle of the Sexes with $5,000 from a Gillette Award. By 2022, the WSF had invested over $100 million to expand opportunities for women and girls in sports, helping grow female high school sports participation from 3% in 1972 to 43% by 2020. She also founded World Team Tennis with equal representation and pay, and coached the Philadelphia Freedoms, becoming the first woman to coach men in professional sports. In 2014, she founded the Billie Jean King Leadership Initiative, promoting equality and pay equity. In 2020, the International Tennis Federation renamed the Fed Cup to the Billie Jean King Cup, closing the gender pay gap for international team competitions. When she returned to Long Beach in 2019 for the library dedication, she surprised fifth graders at her elementary school, affirming one boy's desire to be an anti-bullying activist. She found hope in the Black Lives Matter movement and diverse coalitions forming across races, genders, and backgrounds. For the first time, she believed we were approaching a formula for achieving equality because the effort was genuinely inclusive. All these movements, hashtag never again, Black Lives Matter, Time's Up, hashtag Me Too, share the same fundamental goal, equality for every human being. Billie Jean King risked everything, career, endorsements, privacy, for principles larger than herself. She played before 90 million viewers, knowing her performance would be judged as a referendum on all women's capabilities. She came out when it could have destroyed everything. She refused to accept limitations, from mastering the American twist serve to coaching men professionally. Her guiding question remains, When this is done, will we have helped make the world a better place? She defines success as both doing well and doing good. To children, she says perfection isn't realistic. To LGBTQ plus youth, she promises they'll make it through with allies who love them unconditionally. That girl who slept with her first racket, who practiced against a fence, who told Clyde Walker she wanted to be number one, that audacity changed not just tennis, but the world. When you stand up for what's right, when you go all in for justice, you create ripples extending far beyond your own life. The question isn't whether you'll face obstacles, it's what you'll have stood for when you look back.